This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Buehler has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk here on 710 ESPN Seattle. 710sports.com. Jake Heap's going to be in just a moment or two as Brock is off today. And poor Jake got stuck in traffic. Turns out that driving up from the south end, not as easy as you would think, even in the 6 a.m. hour. So we'll be expecting Jake here in just a couple of minutes. I want to start off today with a text and a rant, not from me, but some sound. From earlier on the station that I think you guys would like to hear. But I'll start with this text because I think it's a really good one. It says, came in about an hour ago and says, hey, I'm listening to the podcast from yesterday. And on the topic of Earl Thomas, based on Salk's response, please hold him accountable next year when he wants to rail against guys not showing up for voluntary practice. If he's okay with Pete's handling of a guy sitting out mandatory practice. All of this talk of Earl playing so well this year that the team needs to pay him. They are already paying for his performance this year. They are already getting a return on their investment in him. The future is not now. This is the present. It's a pretty good text. You're right. I'm not comfortable with Earl not practicing. I hope yesterday I didn't give you the impression that I am. I'm not. I want Earl to practice. I think what Earl is doing is showing exactly why you don't make a long-term commitment to him, which is why you don't make a long-term commitment at some point to guys like Michael Bennett or anyone else who doesn't want to show up for mandatory, even voluntary workout. They're showing their true colors in that moment. There is a difference, however. The difference is that Earl Thomas is in a battle with the team. Whether you agree with his battle or not, that's what he's in. He wants more money. He wants to be taken care of. The team doesn't want to pay him. They are at odds with each other. If they were not, Earl would be at practice. In fact, when they were not at odds and when Earl was signed to a contract that he was happy with, he was not only at mandatory practice. Guess what else he was at? Voluntary workouts, because that's kind of how Earl is. I mean, what you do in a time of quote-unquote war, wartime consigliere, when you're battling your team is different from what you do when you're signed and happy. So look, I understand. You don't have to be happy with where Earl is at. I'm not either. I don't support what he's doing. I think he should play out his deal. But I also think that the way the NFL is set up, this is one of the only options open to him to negotiate for long-term security, which right now he doesn't have. And he wants it. Sorry, whether you're comfortable with it or not, he wants long-term security. And I don't begrudge him that. I just don't really appreciate what's going on because it doesn't help my team. That's the way
it works.
Do you
feel like he deserves it? Like, is there a deserves element to this?
No, absolutely not. I just think that they set up a CBA this way, and this is kind of where you're at. And that's kind of where Jim Moore came in yesterday because Jim was, he's just sick of this, and he's just sick of the way this is all going down.
Like, what a bunch of crap, really. I mean, what a bunch of crap. The guy's getting paid $8.5 million a year, and we have to, Earl, are you okay? Well, if you don't want to practice, that's all right. I like the caller this morning on Brock and Salk that said, hey, they should start suspending him for a half. I mean, get his attention. And who the hell is Earl Thomas's agent? That guy's got to be an idiot. I mean, he's got to be an absolute idiot because he's got to be talking to Earl Thomas saying, hey, Earl, that little thing you did with the media the other day, what were you thinking? Actually, he should have gotten ahead of that and said, hey, Earl, they're going to be coming over to your locker after the game. Whatever you say, just, hey, I'll talk about the game, but nothing about my contract. And instead, he's, going, hey, if I got a headache, I'm not practicing. I'm telling you, this thing is really going to end poorly. And it's going to be, I'll say, over under middle of October. As this thing is not going to go past. I mean, I'll make it a smoking lock. This sucker's not. It's not going to go past October 15th.
Well, if it's a smoking lock, then I think we all know how this thing is going to end. Jim went on from there.
This is crazy. Really, on so many levels, it's more crazy than saying what we're doing. Well, way to go, Pete. Well, no, not way to go, Pete. Yeah, this is being stupid on their part.
I am
they
all
need
on board
to,
the
They
Pete
need to
Carol
get rid
Express.
Of Earl Thomas. I'm sorry.
Kumbaya and Patico. Anything
it's just crazy. I mean, we sit
are
there.
Are you serious? Are you taking into account what he's done in the games?
I don't care what he's done in the games. I don't want someone thinking.
Would you rather they were 0-3?
You know what else I don't like? I don't feel appreciated. I'm disrespected. $8.5 million, you're disrespected? Please. I mean, come on.
Totally respect Jim's passion. Totally respect the point of view. and for the most part disagree with where he's at. So let's bring Jay Keeps into the conversation. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
You had a nice little drive up from the South End this morning?
Yeah, eventful.
All right.
Eventful.
These things had a couple accidents out there, maybe?
That's ridiculous.
All right. Well, good to have you in here. We're just obviously talking Earl and Jim's point of view there, that is, which I think a lot of people share.
Yeah.
Which is, what do you mean you're disrespected? What do you mean you're not being taken care of? You have a contract for this year.
Yeah. Man, it's an interesting topic. I think that there's so many emotions, and it's just such a unique situation. I honestly, I don't know if there's anything like this. There's Le'Veon Bell. There's people that have tried to sit out. There's people that have sat out all off season, like Cam Chancellor, and different situations like that. But to show up and then to not practice in your full padded practices, and to sit here and be as public as Earl has been about, I don't care if I have a headache.
It's new.
It's very new.
So what would you say if you were on that team?
I mean, honestly, I think it's such a unique thing that people need to understand that the NFL is just different. The NFL is such a unique culture and environment, and this isn't going to work everywhere else. This isn't going to work with Bill Belichick. This isn't going to work in most NFL franchises, but Seattle is so unique and Pete Carroll is so unique. And I'm not saying it's
a good thing or a bad thing
or anything like that, but I'm just saying that Pete is the only one, and this organization is the only one that can handle this and make this a successful
thing. So you think it's not necessarily a bad thing?
I think it's a bad thing, but I don't think it's detrimental to the team. Mm-hmm. What I heard over the last 2 days is you have to and again, we were sitting there after the game on Sunday and Monday. You've got to do one or two things. You've got to trade him. You got to pay him, right? And I said after the game, you got to pay this guy because – He's a Hall of Famer, yeah, All Pro team,
you're
All
wrong
Pro
about
player.
That, by the way, but that's fine.
I know you disagree with me on that, and we can get into this. But I think ultimately, when you look at this, the players love Earl. They love Earl, and he is not this disgruntled teammate when he's in the building. He's not going to every player and trying to get them to be on his side and talk about it. He's great in terms of meetings and all those things, helping these guys out. And then on game day, he shows up and he's awesome. He's talking to everybody. He's having a great excitement, all those things. It's just when he gets an opportunity to talk to the media and all that, he's making his voice heard.
Well, or when he has an opportunity to practice and he's deciding not to.
Correct. Right. And it's
which is a pretty important time.
It is. It's a very important
thing. Do you think he could not practice and still be great? I mean, like, how important is practice to Earl Thomas?
Practice is important for every player.
So he's not giving the team, he's not making the team as good as they could be.
I don't think he is. I think the team is better with Earl Thomas practicing.
But Pete would say, all right, if you're losing 5% because Earl's not practicing, I'd rather have the team at 95% than at 80% with him not playing, right?
I agree. Yeah. I mean, when you talk about it in that philosophy, I agree. When people look at it and say, well, you got to punish him by benching him. And that is a total reasonable thing to say. Totally reasonable. But when you look at it and go, okay, what is the drop-off from Earl Thomas to Tedrick Thompson? There's a significant drop-off. And Earl gives you the best chance to win football games. So they are handling this in the most unique fashion possible. But they are trying to get both sides of this where they're gonna find Earl, and they are still going to try and find ways to get him to play the game, and hopefully that Earl shows up and continues to play the way he is. I think it's Russian roulette that they're playing here.
Yeah.
It might come to a head here in one of these games where it just is awful. The communication's awful. Earl doesn't play well. But until that happens, this is what it's going to be.
I don't know that it's as unique as people think, at least in terms of the way Pete's handling it. I don't think he would say it's unique. I think Pete would say, what are you talking about? The guy is committing an offense, and I'm punishing him for it.
Right.
The only thing is that Pete views it as a misdemeanor, whereas everyone else views it as a felony.
Right.
I mean, that really seems to be the case. And if I had to come down on this, and I probably should have said this yesterday, and I'm sorry if I didn't, I also think it's a felony. I think Pete is treating a felony offense with a misdemeanor punishment. But Pete doesn't see it that way.
Right.
I think that's a mistake long term. But you're right. It is one of the things that make Pete completely different from every other coach in the NFL. 710, time for Need to Know.
need to know. The voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
Well, after an off day yesterday, the Seahawks will return to practice today. We'll get our first indication of whether or not Earl Thomas will be with them. Will he practice today? What about tomorrow? Will he talk to the media and tell them how unhappy he is again? Stay tuned as we continue to follow every moment of the Earl Thomas story from soup to nuts. Look, you know, also in addition to Earl, you got to wonder about some of these injured guys. Is Britt able to return? Is Posick able to return? When will we see KJ Wright or Doug Baldwin, who seem to have had either setbacks or, in Doug's case, just taking a lot longer towards the longer end of what this injury could be? The Seahawks have certainly not been at full strength thus far, and we may have an opportunity to see them get a whole lot closer to that in the near future.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. When we can get all our guys healthy, KJ back, Justin Britt back, Doug Baldwin, I think this is going to be a huge boost to the team, and I'm really looking forward to it. This is going to be an opportunity while we see this offense continuing to grow, especially this last week. Getting these guys back is going to be crucial, and I'm excited to also get KJ and bring some stability back to this defense.
Do you think Earl practices this week?
Heck no. Heck no. He's not giving in to this. He knows what's happening. He knows the consequences. He knows all this stuff. He's not going to give in now. And I think the perfect way you've described this is that he didn't get the reaction he wanted earlier. Now he's ramping it up, and he's going to continue on this.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, the Mariners won a walk-off victory over the A's. Start the party. Chris Herrmann, 11th inning walk-off home run, gives the Mariners a 10-8 win over the A's last night at Safeco Field. In terms of baseball news, it means Oakland is a wild card team. Houston clinches the 2018 AL West title, which is, I guess, what we always thought was going to happen. Kudos to Brock, though, and everyone else who was rooting for Oakland during that Oakland-Houston series a few months ago. That definitely turned out really well for the Mariners. In the meantime, the Mariners are stuck here trying to make some decisions. This is the time, man. They got a few more games to ride this out, and then it's decision-making time. What do you want to do moving forward? Do you want to spend more money? Do you want to trade players in their prime? Or do you want to continue to tinker on the margins? I don't think the third option is a real option.
I
think you either need to overspend or take this thing down to the studs.
For sure. I fully agree with you on this. And I think the big thing for me as I look at this, I want to see them spend big money. But the Mariners, in their history, have never really gone this route before in terms of spending big money, going for it. They've decided to tinker, and they've decided to give up players. And that's what I would expect them to do. I don't think they're going to do what I want them to do, but that's what I would like to see, because I think ultimately they have good pieces. And if they could get other big-time players, they can finally get over the hump.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
I'll cede some of my time to Jake on this one, but the number 11 Huskies taking on and hosting number 20 BYU on Saturday, 5:30 on Fox. So UW opened a 17-point favorite over the 3-1 Cougars.
Yeah.
Which is similar to what they were last week over ASU. They're probably somewhat similar teams. Jake,
yeah,
what do we look for here?
Well, I think this is going to be an awesome matchup. I think, again, it's going to be somewhat similar to this Arizona State game in the fact that the Cougars are going to come in here and they're going to want to play ball control offense. They want to control the game, limit the amount of times UW has the football, and this is, again, going to be another great challenge for this Husky defense, because Arizona State did have success in the run game. They weren't great in the pass game, and again, BYU is not a dynamic passing offense. They don't have anybody that scares you. So the emphasis needs to go into this run game, and if they can shut this run game down that BYU has and has been successful with, I think this can be a walk-off victory.
All right, there you go. There's three things you need to know every morning at 7:10. That's Jake Heaps, the voice in for Brock today. Text message: Robbie doesn't get suspended. Mariners make the playoffs. Nothing really needs to change. Anyone believe that? I don't. I mean, they played better during the time Robbie was suspended. I mean, I just,
right.
If that had tanked them and then they had played great once he came back, I think I'd be able to buy it. But the great moment when Cano returned, the team arguably played worse at that point. Now, I don't know that I can say everything. And also, now you're a year older with Robbie, you're older with Felix, a year older with Nelson Cruz.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can just say, well, if Robbie didn't get suspended, this team makes the playoffs. I think the problems run a little bit deeper at this team rather than just wondering.
Fully agree.
Whether or not you'd had Cano for those 80 games. So yeah, it might have helped. I mean, you might have finished a game or two better, but unfortunately, it just didn't make a difference for them when he returned. Let's talk to the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. The price is only going to go up.
Every morning at 7:15.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to totally break everything down.
Plus, a wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
Yeah, I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
All right, any closer to a resolution on Earl and whether or not he could be dealt this week?
Well, I mean, it's possible. I mean, Kansas City may be in the mix. We'll see. But, and there's some reports out there that maybe they're willing to offer a 2 and maybe a little conditional pick in 2020. But it's one where it's like, nobody knows for sure. It's the Earl Thomas situation, and so we're in – ground that we just don't know.
I got a text from a friend who's a Kansas City Chiefs fan. He says, tell the Seahawks to trade Earl Thomas to the former world champion Chiefs.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Hey, John, is more of these conversations, are they lukewarm? Are they hot? Are they cold? Like, where are these quote-unquote sources? How's this conversation going?
It's one where I think there's poking and there's probing and all that stuff. How active I still think is very questionable at this stage. But it's one where I think you look at, because Kansas City is an interesting one, because I know Chris Mortensen brought that up over the weekend. But of course they already paid $13 million a year to Eric Berry, and Eric hasn't even played a down because he's still coming off his injury from last year. And so can the Chiefs? But you look at the Chiefs' defense, and right now they're not very good, and you can see with Patrick Mahomes, this team has one of the best chances right now to maybe make a run and get deep into the playoffs and possibly the Super Bowl. So I think there's a temptation there. In Dallas, it seems to be, I think, relatively chilly as far as getting something done. I know that the coaches, a couple went over to Earl and started talking about the idea that maybe, just maybe, they'd have something done by Monday, and it's Wednesday. Nothing's done.
What's going on in Tampa Bay? Who starts the quarterback for them? They're not saying right now.
They're not saying. I mean, they know, and apparently I don't know if they're just waiting till everybody's in the meetings today to break the news, or they're just going to keep that mystery. My guess is that they'll probably wet the mystery, but it could go either way, because the 3 interceptions, I think, had to concern Dirk Cutter, because Ryan Fitzpatrick, as good as he is, throwing for the 400 yards in each of the first 3 games, so it could be Jameis Winston. I still think it can be. I think they probably should stay with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, he's done a good job, particularly with DeSean Jackson, but still to be determined, I guess.
I mean, John, give me some Fitz magic, man. I love Fitz.
Oh, Fitz has been great.
He's the man. I mean, I just think the reaction that you get from this guy, the way he goes about his business. I mean, I know I'm biased here because he was awesome to me with the Jets. He was a great mentor to me, and I'll always be grateful for that. But with them saying this, don't you think that they could go either way with this? But when they're coming down to this decision, they don't know who they're going to go with. Don't you think they're going to lean towards Jameis on this?
They might. That's why I don't write him off yet, because, again, I mean, he's in the last year of his contract. He is the starter. And say what you want, I know that the incident was several years ago, and he paid the price, and rightfully so, with the 3-game suspension for what he did to the Uber driver. But, he has, I think, matured, and the guys like him on the team. I mean, I was even talking to J.R. Sweezy about him, and there's a great respect that the players have, because one thing you can say about Jameis, he works hard.
All right, anyway, I disagree with every sentence of that, but that's fine. Vikings defensive end Everson Griffen has been hospitalized for a mental health evaluation, and then he tried to escape the ambulance. What is going on here?
Oh, it's a sad story.
Really?
What's got into this one, who knows? But I guess, from the hotel incident where he went crazy, and then now he was trying to get out of the ambulance and all these different things.
What happened in the hotel room? What do we know?
Well, he got into it with employees from the hotel, and it was threatening him. Yeah, and so the police got involved, and then, I guess when they were trying to get him down and he was trying to get out of the van and all those different things. And so the police are saying, even though they're not confirming, that they're not allowing him to go back to the facility. And still, he's hospitalized right now. So something's gone awry. But I know when I was checking on Sunday night about what was going on with the Vikings, I was hearing there's something bad happened with Griffen, and now we tend to know what it is. I know his wife has been saying that he's had some issues for the last year or so, and she's been coping with it, but now it's a bad situation, and so who knows how bad it is.
Sheesh. All right, hey, what's going to happen here with the roughing the passer, because people are up in arms?
Yeah, they're going to be up in arms, too, because I don't think there's going to be any changes. Competition Committee is going to have a conference call with the league, and the league's taken the position that they like this rule, and the Competition Committee, particularly several members who are coaches and that, they don't like this rule. And so there's already been an agreement that they're not going to change any of the language, but I think what the Competition Committee is going to try to do is see if they can talk the league into dropping this, because what there was 30 calls so far in the first 3 weeks for roughing the passer, and you can see that Clay Matthews had three of them, and he's only had four in his entire career before that. And so it's a bad addition that the NFL is doing in the interpretation.
Really? Or is Clay Matthews just a problem? Is 10% of the calls are on him?
Well, because these are bad calls. I mean, it's known as burping the quarterback. And so, because you put your arm around it, if you're flying in the air to try to get somebody.
I just disagree. I'm sorry. I just disagree with all this. And maybe it's the hockey fan in me. Hockey says, and maybe Lydia, you would back me up on this. Hockey says, it's on you to be in control of your stick. I'm sorry if you weren't trying to high stick him. I know you were just trying to pull a move or you pulled your stick over, whatever. But if you hit him in the face with your stick, it's high sticking. I'm sorry that you didn't mean to trip him. But if you weren't in control of your stick and it went between the guy's legs and he tripped over it, that's on you. It's on you are in charge of being in control of your stick at all times. And in this case, NFL defensive ends and linebackers, anybody else rushing the passer, it is on you to be in control of your body. So if you went low because that was the only way to get there, then that wasn't an okay way to get there, and that's now going to be a penalty. Deal with it.
Well, did you see what happened to William Hayes in Miami?
I don't know whether I saw that one in particular.
William Hayes in Miami was trying to avoid the penalty, and by avoiding the penalty, he blew out his ACL.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but that happens in football all the time.
That could be a career-ending
injury. Also, they don't care about William Hayes. They care about whatever quarterback he was trying to tackle.
Yeah. This is a bad rule. Bad.
Wild card time.
Time now for the wild card. Wild card.
Mr. Professor Clayton,
yes.
If you were going to pimp out a school bus to become a tailgate party bus, what sort of things would you add?
I don't know if pimp and school bus seem to be the right way. Pimping and school bus does not sound too
something
good.
Something doesn't add up.
Good call, yeah, John.
Doesn't, so what am I trying to do with the school bus turning into a party?
A party bus that you're going to tailgate in.
Well, okay, taking the pimping part aside, I think what I try to do is, I mean, certainly you have to get some, some good colors on it, because, again, that boring yellow is not going to be good for the party.
What color, John?
What's that?
What color?
Well, I mean, I think that you try to get some blue in there, because the blue, I think, would be a little bit better. And if it's a party, I think you have to have a little red. So I don't know if you don't paint the bus, but I think what you try to do is, get some decorations on the side. Then, of course, I mean, you have to have one portion of the bus that's going to be, with all the beverages and with the food and all that stuff. And that's a tough part because, I mean, that's not real serviceable to try to have a party. So, because, it's pretty basic. I mean, you'll have the seats and all that stuff. I guess maybe what you have to find a way is to take out the first two seats or so just to make sure that you have enough room to try to get all the food in there.
I know that Kyle gave me some grief yesterday for talking about movies from the 80s, but maybe I'll go back to the 70s for movie reference today.
Yeah,
make it a little
do.
Bit more. You ever see The Warriors, John?
Yeah.
How about the bus from the Warriors from the beginning when all those guys are like hanging off the side of the bus and it's got graffiti all over? Yeah. Would you like to see? How about that for a party bus?
Again, it depends on who we're inviting to the party.
I guess that's true.
I'm still trying to get the idea of pimping and school bus.
All right. Goodbye, John. Thank you. There you go. There's John Clayton with us every day, of course, right at 7:50. How did I say he got you on that one? What do you think?
Yeah, that was a turn of phrase. It was in his favor.
Yes, I would agree. All right, well, no one agrees with me, not surprisingly, on the rules for the NFL. I don't think Jake's going to agree with me either.
We'll discuss
that a little bit later in the show. That's fine. You don't have to agree with me. I'm right. That's okay. Coming up next, we'll play my favorite game. Jake, I don't think you've played this yet, but it's the easiest game in the world.
Bring it on.
Even you can play it.
Really?
Jake Heaps is here, in for Brock. More next on Brock and Salk.
This hour of the Brock and Salk Show is brought to you by Mazda of Everett.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
This is funny. We've got a report from at Rapshirt. Not Rap Sheet, mind you, not Ian Rappaport. But at Rap Shirt, saying a source has confirmed the Chiefs and Seahawks have a deal in place. I don't think I believe that. I appreciate the attempt to get us to talk
about
it.
But would you believe it if it was Rap Sheet either?
No. Yeah, see, that's the problem. You have a phony account of somebody whose reports I already don't trust. I don't think that's...
It's a, like Inception. It's just another level of another level.
You haven't quite gotten me with at Rapshirt, although I like it because it's R-A-P-S-H-E-R-T. It's close, but it's Rapshirt. All right, Jay Keeps is here. It's Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle. And we've got a little game that we've played before. Jake, it's very simple. All you have to do is pick a side for whatever reason you want and then argue which is better. We call it which is better. You get it?
I get it.
You get the rules?
I think it's simple.
It's really original. We put a lot of thought into it.
Do you need me to explain the rules again?
I mean, I think I got it. All right.
You're a football
player. We'll find out.
All right. Here we go. Which is better? Lydia, I'm going to need you on this one. Having a group of young, exciting players in the minor leagues who, granted, might not work out, or paying for some really big major league names that everybody already knows, but they're older and you don't know what they're going to contribute into their 30s. Which is better?
To me, it is pay the big name major leaguer.
Really?
Yeah, let's take the Yankee approach and let's get the big name guys and let's make this star-studded and... I think it's worked out for them in the past. I like that.
But with the Yankees, they've also drafted really well, and they've had a farm system right now as of that's produced, you know, some pretty impressive talent and young guys, and I would go with the young guys.
I would too,
Lydia.
It
gives you a sense of hope that is unlike anything else. When you can say, when you could talk about your farm system, like, this guy's coming up, and I like to see Juan Soto and all these names of guys that come up. It's just, it's remarkable.
The Yankees in the 90s and early 2000s, when they were great, unbelievable farm system that they added to by spending a lot of money. Yankees in the later 2000s, when they were not good and didn't win World Series, spending a lot of money without the farm system continuing to spit out prospects.
Yeah.
Yankees now, back to having the farm system that's going to make them good for the next 5 to 7 years. I'll take the Braves, man. Give me the Phillies right now. Give me teams that have stocked and locked and loaded.
I love it.
And isn't it crazy? The Braves are doing that when they've also lost several picks. Because remember, they were
of their cheating.
Reprimanded. Yeah. Oh, so yeah.
They were cheating.
That's scary, the fact that they could be even better.
All right. Which is better? Being in a golf tournament, a charity tournament, winning the long drive, or winning closest to the pin?
I think winning the long drive, definitely. You put everything into this. You get a nice, clean swing.
Oh.
Man, there's nothing better than that.
Drive for show.
Oh, drive for show.
It's the
you
KP.
Know, you get the hoot and the holler.
Jake, come on.
You know, the closest to the pin, you just got lucky. There's no way.
Whoa.
You just got lucky. I'm sorry.
I mean, I think
closest to the pin.
You just got lucky.
Let's be clear. If I were to win either of these, it would be because of luck. Either I accidentally connected directly in the sweet spot on my driver and it rolled or hit a cart path, or... You know, I accidentally hit a shot near the hole.
Closest to the pin, you're staring down a birdie.
It's true.
Even a two-putt par. Long drive, there's still plenty of time for things to go wrong.
Sales manager Kathy Cangiano, furious that she did not win KP yesterday at this tournament. She was about 7 feet away and furious that she didn't win.
7 feet?
Yeah.
Yeah, that feels pretty good. You got 7 feet.
I would take that.
Right. She didn't win. Somebody beat her. She's a fair amount about it. All right. Which is better? The noise as they are raising the 12th man flag, especially someone like this past week with Cam Chancellor, where the entire crowd at CenturyLink is into it, or the noise when the other team is trapped inside their own 10-yard line and the crowd is trying to force a false start.
I would normally say trapped inside the 10, but man, that 12th man flag raising is just one of the coolest things in the NFL. And when you get opportunities like Cam Chancellor, you know, raising the flag and his whole situation, and I know that was emotional for him because he should be out there playing.
Right.
You know, he should be contributing to this football team. And in classic Cam fashion, he gives it everything he has. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him back again.
Can they do that again? What's the rule on that? Are you allowed
honestly,
to raise the 12th man flag
I don't know
twice?
If there's an official rule on it, but I think they make an exception for a guy like Cam.
Why don't you just,
he brings the juice.
What if Cam just became the official flag raiser?
I'd be fine with that.
What if every time, instead of, like, maybe you bring someone up with Cam, but going forward, Cam always raises the flag?
I'd be with it. But, you know, I think it's exciting to the game when you go, man, I don't know who's going to raid the 12th man flag. Who is it going to be this
week? Well, who's it going to be with Cam?
Let's do it.
That's how you do it.
Let's
text
propose.
Message here says, Cam got $7 million to raise that flag this year. It's pretty good.
You make him earn
it. That's pretty good. Kyle, what do you think? What's better?
Inside the 10 all day. There's just something about that moment. There's the feeling that, okay, this could go wrong. They're going to force a pick. They're going to stop them on downs. The flag raising is fun, but it's just a flash in the pan. It's before the game's even going.
It does have the advantage right as the juice game going, starts, though, in that stadium. Like, because especially if your team's kicking off, you get the, like, the 12th man flag, fevered pitch, kickstart my heart, and then, like,
I'd say that the Seahawks, they're dancing as they're about to kick off. They've just scored. They're
right.
going to kick off.
That's good.
The energy's crazy. The dudes are dancing to the music.
That's pretty
That's
good.
Better
I'm
than the
telling
flag.
You, wow. as a, I'm All telling right. you, as a fan and as a player, it just gets the goosebumps rolling, like it. And it just starts off the game.
All right. We're playing Which is Better with Jake Heaps today. It's a Wednesday tradition. This Which is better, howdy, Lawrence, Kansas, or Provo, Utah? Oh, wait.
Does
Jake,
howdy
sorry,
know
not
this?
For howdy.
I would like to get Howdy's opinion on this. But I met my wife in Provo, Utah, so I will be always grateful for that. But, man, Lawrence, Kansas is such a
really?
Cool college town.
What's cool about Lawrence, Kansas?
It's just got this community feel that you got this unique place. They call this place Mass Street. It's right down the center of downtown, and it's got this old small town college feel to it, and there's awesome bars and food, and they don't let any major commercial strips get on there, any big time food chains. It's all local stuff, and it's awesome. It's a great community feel, and when Kansas basketball, I wish I could say football, but Kansas basketball, when they win big games, it's a mile-long strip plus, and that whole place shuts down, and it's filled street to street, and they just
Why
have a
Kansas
great big
good
party.
Good
it's
football?
Awesome.
Why aren't they good at football?
Honestly, I think it's just tough for them to recruit against all the top talent that they have in the Big 12, and you got Missouri SEC. It's just tough for them, but it's always been amazing to me because the facilities are better than what people think they are, and the community actually wants football to be good. So I'm hopeful that Coach David Beatty can get it turned around.
Now, what if we add Coral Gables into this list?
Ooh, honestly, it was just such a unique place. Miami is just such a unique place. Being from Seattle, and oh, my gosh, people are way nicer here than Miami. I'll just say
that. Sounds about right. All right, which is better? Excuse me. Which is better? An interception to prevent a score, so inside your own 20.
Yep.
Or an interception to set up a score inside the other team's 40.
I would say as a quarterback, inside interception to set up the score, because typically, as a quarterback, you get the momentum going, and typically you get to take a shot down the field.
You just want your shot play.
I want the shot play. I want to score a
touchdown. You don't get that shot play from inside your 20?
No, you don't. You don't. You don't. You gotta protect
you gotta
the
ball. There.
You gotta run the ball. I mean, right. Come on! I want to take that shot, score a touchdown.
How about as a fan? Are you more excited though, more happy when like the relief of the other team not scoring, or the excitement of okay, here we go?
I would say probably the relief of not scoring. Mm. You know,
because, I still think it's the other way.
Yeah,
I'm with you on
the
shot.
More exciting thing.
Yeah, because the thing is, inside the 20, you already have a chance of stopping them. Kickers miss all the time. Like, there's a million different things that can go wrong.
That's
Once
true.
You get the ball inside the other team's 40, like, okay, here we go.
Yeah,
like, all right, this team is going to get this thing done. I think that's better for me. Which is better, the Ryder Cup or the FedEx Cup?
Man, I thought about this, and I'm definitely taking the Ryder Cup.
FedEx Cup has $10 million, about to be $15 million on the line.
I know. It's awesome. And you're giving me an impossible question on this because they're both awesome. But I think the Ryder Cup is just such a cool, unique feel. And, you know, the whole thing that Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson might be partnering together and, you know, competing USA versus European teams. It's just – it's so fun. It's such a unique thing in golf, and I love it.
Kyle?
The Ryder Cup, the spectator aspect, where it's like the 16th tee at the
right.
waste management.
Yeah, everybody's having a great time.
Is it going to be that at Le Golf National?
I don't know. Yeah. The American fans will bring the spirit that
That's
the
right.
French
That's
are
right.
lacking.
I'd like to see that.
USA will bring the juice.
Got some text messages here. You guys, you know that Sherman tipping to Smith was pretty exciting.
Yeah, I absolutely think it's the stop.
Really?
Because you just, I mean, maybe it's the Kook fan in me, the defeatist, where I'm like, oh, they're going to score. Oh, hey, they didn't score.
Well,
wow.
I think here's the different thing, though. That was to end the game. Mm. We were just talking about in general during the course of a game. It was to end the game. That, to me, is way more exciting.
A text message, as a Hawks fan, it's prevent the score because we probably just turn it into a three and a field goal. All right, see, that's not very
that's
nice.
That's cynical right there.
Another says, wow, Lawrence sounds great. Sounds a lot like Pullman, except we aren't good at basketball or football. See, there's no need for that. That is just completely, completely unnecessary. All right, Jake is in. We're going to ask him three good football questions. Some X's and O's with an expert coming up next on Brock and Salk.
Here we go. This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, G, U corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
All right, time for a little Coors Light's Blue 42 with Jake Heaps, who is in today for Brock, which is a lot of fun. We'll talk to Brock in 45 minutes. 8:30, we'll talk some Washington Wednesday with Brock. Hey, before we do Blue 42, I should tell everybody, time running out here to watch the Pete Carroll Show video at 710sports.com/win. Get that done, what, before 8 o'clock, Howdy? Is that when the voting closes? Is it 8 o'clock?
Oh, yeah, close at 8.
All right, so you got 15.
Announced at 8:15.
You've got 13 more minutes to go watch the Pete Carroll Show video at 710sports.com. That makes you eligible to win a pair of Seahawks tickets, which we're going to be giving away at 8:15. If you've watched it and you've entered this contest, we're going to announce a winner, Jake, at 8:15.
Can't wait. And, if you haven't done it, why wouldn't you?
Right? Like, all you have to do is watch a video and you can potentially win tickets. And as we were saying, there's really good odds in this one. So we're going to announce the winner at 8:15. That person will have 5 minutes to call in and collect their prize. All right. We have a Blue 42 for you. Three good football questions for an ex-quarterback. Let's start with this one. The Cardinals are 0-3 and making a quarterback change because they've been so bad. Nobody knows who their head coach is.
Right.
What kind of challenges can they present to these Seahawks?
Well, I tell you what. This is going to be a really fun matchup because you go from being 0-2, now you're 1-2. Everybody, there's a different vibe here now. Everybody's, you know, looking forward and actually excited about what could be. But now the Seahawks have a chance to go 2-2. They go into Arizona. They got a new quarterback. Cardinals have a new quarterback in Josh Rosen. And again, I think the defense has been fortunate to go up against offenses that don't have an identity. And, you know, that's been a great thing. But the Seahawks offense versus their defense is going to be the really fun matchup to watch. And what I want you listeners to pay attention to is that this head coach, Wilkes, it came from the Carolina Panthers. He was the DC there. And what they do is a ton of exotic looks is what you call it. They line up at the line of scrimmage. They go double mug with their linebackers in front of the center. And they bring pressure from all over the place. And because the Cardinals aren't as good as what they were in Carolina with Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis and all those guys, they're desperate right now. So they're going to bring a ton of pressure. They're going to throw a ton of things out there, see what sticks. And it's going to be up to Russell Wilson and that Seahawks offensive line to answer those calls and be able to make them pay when they go into those situations.
Am I crazy that I think that sounds like great news for the Seahawks, for especially for a wide receiving core that has really struggled to get open?
Yeah, no,
they're bringing more and more pressure. Those guys should have more of an opportunity to get open.
It's a great opportunity for them to take advantage and get big chunk plays. And actually, the video breakdown that I'm going to do here this week is going to demonstrate how Russell has handled that situation.
Cool. All right, you can see that coming later today at 710sports.com from Jake. All right, question number two. UW offense looked better this past week against Arizona State, but what's the next step for them to become even better than they've been?
Well, I think it's just continuing to stay on this path. This was the first game where they didn't have any turnovers, big turnovers. They didn't have anything that was catastrophic. And you know what? They used the run game to set them up for the pass game. And I think also you have to look at it and say, okay, the offensive line did a much better job. Why is that? Because what ends up happening in pass protection in play action plays, and definitely when you're trying to push the ball down the field, is it's more gap control instead of one-on-one pass blocking, worrying about trying to slide for this linebacker versus that linebacker. It just simplifies everything down, and you were able to see Jake Browning have a lot of time, and look at the result. It was awesome.
Question number three. All right, so speaking of this game, BYU comes in, and they're not altogether different from Arizona State. Where are some of the similarities between those two squads?
Well, I would say the similarities are in the approach. It's not necessarily the look of it. Arizona State was much more spread in terms of their offense and then tried to break it down and bring some fullbacks and add tight ends to it. This BYU's offense is going to be very pro-style in its approach, but they add a fly sweep element, which is fascinating, and that's their way of getting misdirection and getting the defense on their heels. So this is going to be a great challenge for this UW defense. I think this is where the key of the game is. UW's defense can have an opportunity to truly dominate in every facet. They've been great in the pass defense, and at times they've been great in run defense. But if they can handle this run attack from BYU, I think they can more than cover this spread.
That is today's Coors Light's Blue 42 with Jay Keefs. We do have a request from the people here.
Oh, okay.
They would like to hear a play call from you. We obviously get one from Brock at the beginning of Blue 42.
Ooh.
It's one of his favorites. We would like a play call from you, Jay. Call
nice,
any
really
play from any of the 30 different offensive schemes you played in. We would like to hear a good play call.
All right, here we go.
But
We're
it can't
good.
Be red, right, tight. Like, we hear that one too often. It's got to be
that's
something.
That's Mike Holmgren. Yeah, that's a great Mike Holmgren
plus
call.
Brock does that with everybody, right? We did it with Ryan Tannehill. We did it with, like, every Matt Hasselbeck. They all go to the same one.
They're so proud.
There's the other one he does is, like, something flanker drive. He loves that.
Two jet flanker drive.
Ooh. Two jet flanker drive. All right, here we go. We're going to go. Gun duel right.
No. We got to hear actual like we got to hear like in quarterback voice.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's not how you do a play call though.
Yeah. You go in the huddle. All right, guys. Here we go. All right. This one's gonna be a great one. We're gonna go gun duel right. Zebra short. Three jet zebra drive on one. On one. Ready. Break.
What's going on with the zebra on that?
Yeah. Zebra.
Is that the Z or is that a formation?
That was great.
Now, usually you call the flanker. Some people call it F or. They can call it a bunch of different things. They in Seattle's offense, they call it the zebra. It's a West Coast term.
Okay.
You know, everybody's got their own terminology. That's what's fascinating about the game.
Is the zebra in motion on that play?
Yep, zebra's in motion. Yeah, motion timing, critical.
Get that zebra across.
Seven-step drop.
Full
progression read.
Wow.
Let's roll.
All right, get that ball to the zebra. Is that Tyler Lockett?
That would be Tyler or Doug.
All right, could be anybody. Probably not going to be Doug unless he plans on coming back from
Keenan Reynolds.
Soon. Could be Keenan Reynolds, new Doug, as they call him. Not old Doug, new Doug. All right.
New Doug.
Jake is here. We got a lot to get to. We got a rapid fire around the Seahawks, around the NFL. And I promise we'll continue to debate what's going on with these quarterback rules. I see your text. Salk, you were literally the only person who is not angry about these calls. That's fine. I don't need to be like everybody else. We'll debate next here on Brock and Salk.